Welcome to Solo Selling with Trevor White. And tonight we're going to talk about sea anchors and sea drogues, also parachute sea anchors. Recently I caught up with a mate of mine. We were talking about boats. He's just recently purchased a yacht and he purchased a Racer Cruiser, lighter monohull sloop, probably in the 7,000 kilo bracket. So it's a reasonably fast boat. But it's a bit light on, and we were talking about techniques for sailing and surviving heavy weather, coping with heavy weather, things like, you know, getting a little bit of rest, hoving to, you know, techniques for running before seas, you know, like towed warps. And the conversation came around to sea drogues, sea anchors, when do you use them, how do you use them, what are they used for, the best applications. And over the years I've had the opportunity to use a variety of different sea anchors and sea drogues, parachute sea anchors also. Haven't used them in necessity, the parachute sea anchors, but I have practiced them in case I did get caught out. I do believe that they're a necessary requirement, but I don't always believe that the items themselves are required, you know, such as a parachute sea anchor or a sea drogue. Often you can improvise some of those pieces of equipment to achieve the same effect. So in my experience, I was once down in Antarctica and we got caught in quite a bad Antarctic storm. We caught in pack ice. We had our rudders crushed off, the prop damaged, significant other damage to the boat. And after a couple of weeks, we got released from the pack ice without steering, without propulsion. We then had to learn how to steer a boat. So we then started using a variety of different sea drogues. So we were still in, you know, 15-metre seas, probably still blowing 60, 70 knots, quite uncomfortable conditions. That wasn't the worst part. The worst part was we had to dodge icebergs the size of small city blocks, 10 stories high. We were drifting, they were drifting, the pack ice was still drifting, and we had to be able to sail around those things. So the only way to achieve that was to use sea drogues. So we started off by using small rescue drogues that you have on a boat. They're often there for safety equipment. And they lasted all of about 5 minutes. You know, you put them over the side, you tie them off to a cleat, next thing they just explode because they're not built to deal with horrific conditions in a, you know, 20-ton boat in, you know, 15-metre sea. So that didn't last very long. And then we decided we would start improvising. You know, we talked about, you know, creating rudders, etc. All ridiculous options. But sea drogues worked. And in that situation, we just improvised a solution. So the question is, do they work? And the answer is absolutely they do work. I managed to bring a boat back from Antarctica, 1,600 nautical miles, using drogues and towed warps. It was not terribly comfortable doing it. It wasn't something I would recommend. It got us home safely and we managed to survive. So, yeah, they do work. And I'm not the only person who's used them. There's been plenty of other people who have used a variety of different sea anchors and sea drogues to survive. And I also use towed warps and smaller sea drogues in storm conditions as well, and I've used those over the last 20 years for a number of different situations, which I'll talk about. So the science behind sea drogues is really quite simple. It's just an item in the water. Typically, it's a cone-shaped device that is dragged behind a boat or hung off the bow. The resistance of that item in the water creates, you know, a drag effect and slows your vessel down. So if you're drifting off the bat or drifting with the sea anchor off the bow, it keeps a bow towards the waves. So the waves are presented on the bow, they crash over the bow, and you know, you're not side on, you're not broaching, you're not, you know, well, you're less in the risk of getting rolled, capsized. And when you're towing them off astern, you're typically sailing with the sea. So you're still trying to maintain some stability with sails, some speed, conditions such that you can still sail typically. such as us sailing back from Antarctica. You know, we were in still terrible conditions, but you know, we were sailing with a small jib, and it allowed us to sail out of the situation we found ourselves in, and get around some icebergs. So yeah, we had no choice. It worked, and then we sailed home. Over a few, several weeks. The other situations I've used, I've been sailing in the Southern Ocean, and I've had towed warps behind the boat to give stability. I've used a car tire as a sea drogue to provide stability and slow down the boat on various occasions. It was sort of my go-to for a while, was a car tire. You can also use it as a fender in places like Papua New Guinea, where the wharves are quite rough, and put those over the side of the boat and then put your fenders on the top, and you know, it just created another layer of protection for the boat. And then when you needed them out at sea, you wrap them with chain, put a shackle and a swivel, and you've got a sea drogue. So, you know, multifunction, pretty cheap piece of equipment to find anywhere in the world and use for that purpose. So that was a couple of different ideas on how we use them. Typically, they're just improving your stability in the water. So if you're sailing with the seas, you put a drogue out behind the boat, and it stops you from, or lessens the risk of being broached. So if you're running down a wave and you start getting sideways, there's a chance the waves can crash over you and roll your boat. By putting a drogue out behind you, in the case of what we did, we had a drogue, a 200-metre roll of cord or rope wrapped in chain, towed 200 metres behind the boat approximately, and we worked on two waves behind the boat. That kept the rope in the water, in the waves, with the chain keeping it underwater. And as we crested a wave and started to accelerate down the waves, and these are 20-metre waves, you know, huge seas with no steering, the drogue would take up the resistance of the water and slow us down, so we wouldn't accelerate into the bottom of a wave. And the wave would then sort of ride up over the boat, past the boat, and we would go into the next trough. And that's how we survived. You know, so we didn't get broached. We also used towed warps, you know, setting a rope, like a U-shaped configuration of rope behind the boat to add extra resistance and slow us down. By putting out warps, it also allows the waves to break on something as it's coming up behind you. So there's a couple of applications for drogues. They sort of act like a giant underwater rudder. You know, in our case, without rudders, we needed something to add to our stability. You know, we wouldn't have been able to use an improvised rudder. It was just completely unworkable. The conditions were incredibly bad. The seas were massive. Any rudder we could have improvised with a spinnaker pole would have been snapped in no time. So using the drogue worked, and it was simple, and it was able to deal with the forces. And the forces are massive in those conditions. You know, you can't imagine how difficult and how angry the ocean can get. And the having ropes towed behind the boat, you can protect those ropes from chafe, but they also absorb a lot of the shock. And, in that situation, it was probably minus 30 at times, you know, and 60, 70 knot winds. It was a pretty difficult situation. So the drogues were quite effective. So, yeah, effectively, it's a large underwater rudder. In other situations where you're in a survival situation, in a cyclone or hurricane, you're unable to steer, you use techniques like hove to, bare poles, lying the hull, running with warps, and all of these are proving ineffective, and the situation is getting so bad and so dangerous that you're only left with one choice, which is to throw out a parachute sea anchor or a large sea drogue, hang it off the bow, and just try and survive the storm. And there have been numerous people who have done this and survived. So they basically put it off the bow, they protect the rope, put out a couple hundred metres of rope, and they hang off this parachute sea anchor, basically just strap themselves in for a ride. And they might be there for several days dealing in these conditions, but the bow is presented to the waves, and you know, the boat's riding up and down, and you're trying to reduce the chance of it broaching or being rolled or capsized. So that's, you know, one situation. As I said before, you know, quite often I've used it for running before storms, and it's been quite effective in doing that. You know, I've been able to, I've done what, three Southern Ocean crossings in my last vessel, and I carried a parachute sea anchor. However, I never found the need that I wanted to use it. I used car tires, I used ropes as warps behind the boat. I had hove to for several days. I ran with bare poles on a number of occasions. So there's a number of different techniques I'd use, but I never got to the point where I needed to use a parachute sea anchor, and always had it there, was already prepared to go, but never found that I needed it. So it allowed me to maintain, well, you know, the techniques I use allowed me to maintain control of the vessel in, you know, 15 metre seas, you know, up to 70 knots of wind, probably hove to in 100 knots of wind on a couple of occasions. You know, it's pretty ugly conditions. You just make do. The car tire tended to work quite effectively on a number of occasions. So I'll probably go through a couple of types of sea anchors, sea drogues. So the one I talked about previously was a parachute sea anchor, and these have been around since World War II. It's a parachute, and these days, well, years ago, it was just a normal parachute that was modified as a sea anchor or a cargo parachute. These days, they're typically designed as a device for boats. And it looks like a parachute. It's got a hole in the apex. You'll attach chain or weight to it. It'll come to an apex. It'll have a swivel on it. And then you attach that to a long line. As I said, it's about 200 metres of rope. And that allows it to stay in the water, gives you some stretch in the rope, reduces some of the impact on the boat. And you attach it to bow cleats or Samson posts on the front of the boat. It has to be a pretty robust part of the boat, you know, because the loads on these are immense, particularly in a storm. And then the next style is a hydro anchor or drogue. It's a cone-shaped device. Years ago it was canvas, now it's more of a nylon material, like a heavy nylon PVC materials. Typically they're reinforced with webbing. Again, they're, you know, 2 to 3 metres in diameter, maybe a couple of metres long. They're really heavily built with a shackle, a swivel, and again, they go to a rope. And then you get smaller versions of those, and then you also get a long rope with multiple cones on it that you can release out through the rear of the boat or the front of the bow of the boat, and you can then, you know, recover that through a winch. So I quite like that idea, but they're not terribly common. The smaller drogues, there's small drogues that, you know, fishing boats have for, you know, drift fishing. They're generally no good in a storm. They're just too light, they're too small, ineffective. More suitable for your dinghy, for a little bit of fishing off the coast. And then the one I like a lot and use quite regularly is towed warps. So on my boat I carry, you know, primary anchor on chain, secondary anchor is 300 metres of rope with 15 metres of chain. And I'll use that for towing a warp if I need, or towing a drogue. And I can also put it out behind the boat as towed warps. I can get, you know, 3 or 4 warps out of it. And I also have another, you know, several hundred metres of rope on board for a variety of different things in different diameters. I have probably 100 metres in 18 mil. And then I've got, you know, multiple in 10 mil, probably 60, 80 metres. And I can put those out behind the boat, and that creates resistance behind the boat. And as I said a little bit earlier, if you've got warps out behind the boat and you're running before big seas and breaking waves, often the seas will break over the ropes instead of breaking into your cockpit. And if you've got multiple ropes out in as towed warps, it gives the ocean something to break on. And I've found that several times that I've done this, the waves do often break over the ropes as opposed to breaking into the cockpit. The last thing you want is big waves breaking into your cockpit. You know, and you're towing these warps or drogues behind the boat to slow you down, to give you some stability as you start to, you know, accelerate down waves. And as these big waves are coming up over your stern, you know, your boat's lifting up, so it's slowing down, it's lifting up, the waves are passing you. And the whole idea is that you don't accelerate down a wave. You know, I've got a 12, 13-ton boat. It's a catch. It's an older-style vessel. And I've had, you know, this vessel doing 18 or 17, 18 knots racing down the face of waves. That's when I'm not towing warps. And, you know, that's almost twice my predictable hull speed. You know, I sort of average about 10 knots. So, you know, you're doubling your hull speed in a big old boat like mine. And if you're in a light racer cruiser, you know, that can really accelerate down a wave. You know, the vessel we had down Antarctica was a 60-foot racing boat, you know, like a planing hull with a welded-in keel. And that thing would accelerate very fast down a wave. So we would feel that it's starting to accelerate, and then you'd feel the warp and the drogues starting to take up as the boat was accelerating down a wave. You'd feel the stern pull up and straighten up because you'd start to go, you know, port or starboard, and you know, you'd feel waves starting to push you around, and then the drogue would straighten you up, the wave would pass underneath you, lift the whole hull up, and you know, you'd fall back into the trough, and then the next wave would roll through. So these are, you know, life-saving techniques, and they work incredibly well, and it takes a bit of trial and error, and every boat's different, its performance is different, but they can work incredibly well. And you know, one I've used a lot is a car tire. You know, I used to use them putting under a hard dinghy. I had a hard dinghy on the deck for a while, and I used to have a couple of car tires underneath it. I found them quite effective. You know, it's just a cheap protection for the boat, and you know, lift the boat off. And then, you know, I could use them in a storm. I could just wrap a bit of chain around it, shackle on a swivel, sling them over the back, attached to my secondary anchor warp. The chain keeps it down, and it provided an adequate amount of resistance to just slow the boat down a bit, give it a bit of stability. And tires are incredibly tough. You know, you can drag those things for weeks behind a boat. Might get a few barnacles, but it's not going to wear out. They're really, really tough pieces of equipment. And they come at the right price. They're generally free. If you need to, you know, sling a tire on your deck somewhere, and you can always find a new home for it somewhere in landfill when you finish with it. Or you can use it for tying up against difficult wharves in places like Papua New Guinea or South America. The way to use these drogues and sea anchors, if you're taking them off the bow, like you find yourself in a cyclone or a hurricane and everything else has failed, and you know things are deteriorating and you're in a survival situation, or you need to leave your vessel and get into a life raft or potentially be rescued. Yeah, you may deploy a drogue off the bow to give the boat a bit of stability so it's not drifting so fast, allow a ship to come alongside. I would never step down into a life raft. I would only ever step up into a life raft because my vessel's sinking. But if you do need to use one, you can deploy it off the bow, secure it, and then the boat will be a bit more stable in the water. Even to effect the repairs, damaged mast, steering. There's a number of reasons why you might deploy it. I haven't used a parachute sea anchor, but I've talked to catamaran owners who have, and they've had to use them. And is it the right choice or not the right choice? For them, it was the right choice because catamarans can accelerate very rapidly down big waves. They're a planing hull. And in their situation, they survived these cyclonic conditions, maybe with a bit of damage from time to time, depending on who you talk to. Broken steering systems, linkages, damaged rudders, but you know, they still managed to get home. So I think it was the right choice for them. So that's deploying it off the bow, and every device you have has manufacturer's instructions on how you're going to use it. But you do have to have a really robust deck hardware that you're going to attach it to. If it's light, it's going to get snapped. Typically I've used them off the stern to sail with the conditions, attach them to the structure of the vessel. I don't normally put them onto the winches. I think you're just loading up your winches a lot. I've got, you know, very heavy cleats on my vessel. And on the boat from Antarctica, you know, we put it through the scuppers, so it was right around the structural components of the boat. And the loads were immense. You know, you had to be careful not to get a foot or a hand caught, because, you know, you're going to do serious damage to yourself when these things loaded up. So you really have to be careful. And when you're thinking about using these, you know, you need to understand that the loads you're putting on the deck hardware are going to be immense. The other thing is wear and tear on the rope. Like, there's a lot of wear and tear. You know, you're carrying these things for days, not just a few hours. It's normally a few days. In our case, coming back from Antarctica, it was, you know, several weeks. So you're constantly checking for chafe. And I normally just use a piece of towel, heavy cloth, and then I'll get some gaffer tape or electrical tape, and I'll tape it on. And that way I can just take it off and move it. It's also easy to check for chafe, but I find that protects the ropes quite well. I also have fire hose that I use as chafe protection, but it's a little bit more difficult to keep where I want when you're in those situations, and I find the towel a bit easier to manage. And when I'm deploying it from the stern, as I've talked about earlier, I'll tend to use, if I'm using a drogue, like a tyre or a dedicated drogue, I'll use my other anchor rope, and I can put it out up to 300 metres of rope out behind the boat. And then I can secure it off a rear hard point on the vessel. I can even create a bridle off both sides of the, or both cleats, one on each side, and then I can attach the anchor rod with a shackle to that bridle, and that centres it up. Or I can just hang it out one side, depending on which way I want to present the vessel to the oncoming seas. And then when I'm using towed warps, I generally attach it to one cleat, and then I feed it out through the boat or over the top of the tow rail, and bring it around behind my wind vane, attach it to the other side, and then I slowly release it. And after I've done that, then I adjust it to get the lengths right. So when you do it that way, you can put it around a winch and you can drag it in, and then you can just cleat it off. And I find that, you know, recovering it, I just release it from one side, and then I winch it in on the other side. And I'll typically put out one and just see how that affects the vessel, its steerage and stabilizing characteristics of the rope, and how much drag it's creating. Is it slowing me down enough? If it's not enough, then I'll put out a second and a third until I feel comfortable that the conditions I'm in and the amount of drag that I'm creating from the rope or the drogues is slowing the boat down enough to deal with the conditions that I'm in and give me a little bit of stability. And I find, you know, the vessel I've got now, it's a heavier boat. Its characteristics present really well to, you know, big seas. I don't tend to use it as often as I did in my previous boat, which is a bit lighter. And I can also hove to really well in anything up to probably 60, 70 knots. It becomes, you know, more difficult when you've got really confused seas, broken seas, and then, you know, you're making a choice whether you're trying to hove to, you're lying a hull, or you're just going to, you know, try and run before the seas. You know, these are all personal choices you have to make at the time. You know, every situation is going to be different. So I think probably the biggest thing in all these situations is to take your time, set it up properly, make sure you can recover it, make sure it's not going to interfere with the steering or your rudder, your props. It can't get caught around those. In big storms, your whole boat can get picked up and just tossed like a cork. So you've got to make sure that these ropes aren't going to jam up your steering, aren't going to excessively load up a rudder or damage it, get wrapped around your prop. You know, those things can be detrimental. Chafe, as I mentioned, is a huge thing, so you need to really protect it from chafe. And if you are in a big storm, you know, the key consideration is fight for your boat. You know, do everything you can to keep the water out of the boat. You know, protect, you know, your rigging, your steering, and keep the boat dry. Like, if it, in some horrific conditions, you can survive those easily if you can just protect the vessel. And I think that's what people often forget. You know, they think that hopping into a life raft, they'll be okay. But I mean, a life raft is a flimsy piece of fabric, and, you know, you're hopping into something in the worst possible conditions, whereas your vessel is a robust structure. And it will generally survive. I mean, there's a lot of people have hopped into life rafts and perished, whereas their boat was still found drifting, weeks, months, years later. So if you can fight for your boat and protect it and keep the water out or keep the water pumped out, then you have a good chance of surviving, regardless of how shit it is at the time. So they're my thoughts on drogues, sea anchors, parachute sea anchors, warps. Hope you got something out of it. I mean, I don't chat to people about this stuff too much because there's not that many people get caught in these sorts of situations. It's typically racing sailors in the southern latitudes, the odd crazy cruiser. But it doesn't take much to get caught in a big blow, even in the cruising latitudes. You get the tail end of a cyclone and things get pretty drastic pretty quickly. Everybody talks about light air sails, spinnakers, code zeros, all the beautiful sails. But I think sailors also need to give due consideration to storm tactics and how they're going to survive in a storm and what they're going to do in that situation. And often you don't need a lot of specialty equipment, something as simple as a car tire or a rolled up length of rope wrapped in chain will get you out of trouble and will create the tool that you need for the time, and you've already got it on the boat. So thanks for joining me. Safe sailing, and I will see you out there.